Beautiful day outside. Gorgeous day. You know, it reminds me of some games that we used to play of wiffle ball over the summer. The past few summers, I've had this opportunity to play in a series of epic wiffle ball games. I mean, probably most of us here have in one way or another played wiffle ball in the backyard. But I don't think it's a stretch to imagine that not many people have played in a wiffle ball game like this. Okay, this was a wiffle ball game that involved blood and tears and near dislocated knees and boyfriend-girlfriend relationships put on ice because of the competitive nature of this game. Every hit was crucial. Every base running mistake was fatal. Every 12-6 curveball, which if you can imagine done with a wiffle ball, deadly. It was intense. The games went on for hours, and none of us would ever want to stop playing because it was so competitive, because if you gave up playing, that meant that you lost. But as the evening went on, the lights started to fade. It was slowly dimming until those curveballs became even more unhittable. You could barely see where the ball was or where the bases were until eventually it was just impossible to go on. And we had to postpone it. It's strange. You know, sometimes in the dark, things that are normally so familiar, like the shape of people and objects and bases and wiffle balls whizzing by your face, are so difficult to see. Sometimes we take sight for granted until we're stumbling around in the dark looking for the light switch. In order to properly see, in order to properly work toward our goal of winning the victory of that wiffle ball game, we need light. We need light. Light is such an important thing for sight because without it, things become unsensible. Things become unrecognizable. Think about it even here in this church. So when the lights are on, like they are right now, setting two, by the way, when the lights are on, you can see the beauty of the colors of this church. I mean, you can see the beauty of the statues. Look how vibrant the stained glass is in this church. But if you wait a couple hours and you turn it on setting 8, where all the lights will go down, we don't get that same feeling. Rather than the light shining through these stained glass windows and telling us the stories of our faith, those stories are told in an unintelligible way. You just can't see what's going on in the stained glass or in the church. It becomes almost lifeless. That's true spiritually as well. Sin really is a kind of darkness because it prevents us from being able to see the world around us as God intended us to be able to see it. See, when we were baptized, God lit the light of grace in our lives. Our parents and godparents actually received, you know, this little baptismal candle at that time. Actually, it's kind of funny. I'm pretty sure this is the exact same kind that I had 30 years ago. Things have not changed a whole lot since then. But it's interesting. We were told when you receive that light, this light is entrusted to you to be kept burning brightly, to be a bearer of light. But when we get busy, when we get hectic, when we get lazy, we start to sin. And it's like we're slowly turning down the settings of our light here in this church. It's like we're slowly turning down the light deep within our hearts. And that baptismal candle, which was once so bright as a child, begins to slowly fade away. It gets harder and harder to navigate in the dark. The colors of vibrancy of life start to slowly fade away. And we lose sight of the goodness of those around us. We lose sight of the call that God has given us to generously love them, just as much as He has generously loved us. And eventually, we even lose sight of ourselves and who we are called to be and who we truly are. Before we know it, the light of our baptism is barely even a spark. It's like it's just been blown out, and it's just little embers that are kind of smoking. And we find ourselves grappling through the darkness of sin, desperately longing for and searching for a way to get that light back. Just to flip on the switch again, to find what it was that we once had. That's what happened to the Israelites in the second reading, or in the first reading that we had from the second book of Chronicles. So we pick up in one of the darkest times, pun intended, of Israel's history. One of the darkest times. Judah, the southern kingdom, known for the holy city of Jerusalem, known as being the place of the height of worship where people from everywhere would come to worship together, was seeing their sun start to set. They were adding infidelity to infidelity, as we hear. They were worshiping the gods of the Assyrians and the Babylonians almost as much as their own. They mocked Jeremiah when he came to deliver that message from God. And they mocked the prophets that followed him. They turned down the light of their faith so much so that they were barely recognizable in the darkness of sin and idolatry. We heard in the psalm, which is so beautifully sung for us today, that sad, sad song. Think about what the lyrics of that song say. Sitting weeping by the streams of Babylon as they were in exile in Babylon, forced into servitude, forced to be separated from their identity, longing for the light of that once strong and faithful kingdom of Judah. It's amazing to see the impact the darkness can have on the light of life. It's amazing. But brothers and sisters, the good news is that Jesus Christ brings that light of love and truth and mercy to dispel the darkness of sin. And that's why we're here. It's because he is the light switch to brighten the room filled with darkness. In that wiffle ball game, he's the bright porch lamp that illumines that wiffle ball game so that we can carry it on to the ultimate victory at the end. He's the crimson sunrise that dispels the darkness of night and brings the hope of day. He's the flame that reignites the baptismal dignity to bring life and light to our lives once again. Brothers and sisters, we always have a choice. We have the choice to choose between light and darkness. In the gospel, you can almost hear Jesus' sorrow as he's reminded people preferred darkness to light. As we're gathering together, do we choose to live in the light of the teachings and the mercy of Christ, the teachings of the church as it's been passed down to us? Or do we live in the darkness of the broken promises of sin? As we come to the Eucharist today, let us choose today to be lovers of the light, to live in a world of vibrancy and beauty and warmth, shining the light of Christ into the world, rejoicing in the love of our God who sent his only begotten Son so that we might not perish but might have eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.